to the gift giving and all that. And so we're gonna look at the whole story a little bit tonight, and I'm just gonna point out kind of one thought to you, and hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you, because it'd be my testimony tonight of what I'm thankful for is this thought that I'm gonna share with you. But first, we've got to do some reading, so we'll pray and then we'll dive right in. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Help us now as we study it together. Help us to consider what it has for us to learn. And Lord, help us to always be thankful for what we find therein. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now that's just the beginning, of course. Luke chapter 2 is probably the most popular place for people to go to read the Christmas story, but you kind of have to go to chapter 1 first and get this introduction and see Mary and the angel and the prophecy. And now we come to Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, being of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told unto them." Now that's the story. That's what we have looked to for ages, to see the birth of Christ. We see the Virgin Mary is with child, miraculously, the Holy Ghost. We see the manger. We see Bethlehem. We see the shepherds and the angels proclaiming We don't see the wise men. There's a reason for that, but we won't get into that tonight. And we see all of this, and it makes for such a blessed story. And it's a true story. We know that from because it's in the Word of God, and we trust the Word of God to be true in all things. And it's a familiar story, and it's so easy with a familiar story to read it through and not consider what is necessarily being said. We get the overall arc of exactly what's happening. For me, the thing that's hard for me, it's just the way I'm wired, I guess, is reading through that story. It was very hard for me to not stop at least two places and say, "Praise God for the King James Bible." Because if you've ever read that story in a different perversion of the Bible, it's way different. And it's very important, the differences. It's not for all men in the other versions, and she's not a virgin in some of the other versions, and there's some pretty big differences. So it's hard for me to, you know, read it and enjoy it knowing how corrupted some people have made it. But some people, you know, they read through it, and what stands out to them is, you know, Mary, or what stands out to them is the baby in the manger, or what stands out to them is the shepherds abiding over their flock. And I've got a pretty vivid imagination, and so I can kind of picture these things, and I have this scene in my mind, and how accurate it is, I have no idea, but I play it out in my head as we read, and I hope you do too. But the story is familiar. And so for a few moments tonight, I just want to consider a question, and it's a question we could study out for a long time, but we're not going to take a long time, because I think at the base, there's a very simple answer. But the question of why Mary and Joseph? I mean, it couldn't be that she was the only virgin espoused to someone who was of the line of David in Israel. There's a lot of people of the line of David. Couldn't be that they were the only couple that were trying to live for God. I would assume in the house of Israel, nation of Israel, that there were other people trying to live for God. Were they just, you know, better Israelites? The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly in so many words, God picked you because of this. You know, God picked you because you took just the right offering to the temple at just the right time, and you prayed just the right prayer. That's not what it says. But I think we find some pretty clear clues as to why they were chosen. And if those things are something that God sees in a person that he trusts with the incarnate God, that would be something we would want to emulate in our life. If we can learn something from some people in the Bible, I would say the ones that God trusted with his son would be some pretty good people to start with. We know, of course, certain people magnify people in this story above what they should, but we just want to look at, okay, what were Mary and Joseph like that God chose them? And I think I know the answer, at least at its base. I don't claim to know more than the Bible says, but I think I know at the base of it all why they might have been chosen. So if you look back with me at chapter 1 of Luke, and you consider what has just been said. Now again, it's such a familiar story. We read it and we think, oh, it's such a blessing. But put yourself in Mary's position, in Mary's time, in the country Mary belonged to, in the nation Mary belonged to, with the laws that it had. And I say all that because in the Old Testament law, if you were given to a husband and you were expected to be a virgin and found that you weren't, you could be killed. That's a big deal. And you weren't, you know, relations before marriage, all that, you know, just like it used to be in this country, was very frowned upon. And here, this young lady, this Virgin Mary, she gets told by the angel that she's going to be with child. And she says, wait a second, hold on. How? So I know not a man. That's a legitimate. There's nothing wrong with asking for some clarity from the Lord. She asked for some clarity. He said, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and you're going to be pregnant by the Lord, by God. And in my mind, I'm thinking, that's an incredible thing. But boy, that's a crazy story. If somebody asks you, oh, you're pregnant, you're not married to Joseph yet, what happened? Well, I mean, come on, who wants to defend that? Looking back, we've seen it, and even today, even though we have this example, if somebody were to say, well, the Holy Spirit came upon me, I'm still a virgin, we would lock them up. We would say they were nuts. And we've seen it happen before. But imagine Mary, you know, she's in this situation, and she gets told all of these things, and you can imagine it's pretty overwhelming to know, well, now I'm in danger because of the law. I'm in danger of my reputation being tarnished and ruined because of, you know, people talk and people see, and you can only hide it for so long. You can't pretend, well, it was the wedding night, you know, when you're 6 months along or so already when the wedding night comes. That's kind of, people know math. So she's into trouble in that way. And then also the responsibility of, you're telling me that the Messiah is going to come through me and I'm going to raise him? Now you say, well, it's God. Yeah, it's God. But he's in human form. He's a baby. He's man and he's God. Can you imagine having God as a child in your house? For one, that's a huge responsibility. They lose him for multiple days in the temple and they're freaking out. That's worse than anything I've done with my kids. But also just the idea, I mean, we know, you know, the Lord is with us. If we're saved, God is with us. We understand that. But to physically be like, oh, hey, how'd you sleep, Lord? I mean, it's you start thinking about it and it's like, wow, that had to be such a peculiar situation to be put in. And so Mary's taking all this in, this information from the angel. And look at verse number 38. Her response, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She says, I'm God's. Do to me exactly what you said you want to do. That, considering all the implications of what she'd just been told, that's some pretty good obedience. It's pretty good obedience. We learn a little more if we go further in the chapter. Verse number 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Now, where could a woman who just found out she's going to be expecting soon be running off to in haste? Well, her sister. That's the way it's probably always been, and the way it probably still is. Verse 40, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth, her cousin, sorry. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. From whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. That's Elizabeth speaking of Mary. Blessed is she that believed. I think that plays a pretty important role in it as well. Mary believed the angel. She believed the report from God and she obeyed that word. It's one of those, it's such a miraculous thing to believe that that is going to come to pass. That requires faith. Mary is shown to have faith and trust in what the Lord said through his angel in this passage. In verse 46, the Bible says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. This is a woman who got news that could will change her life forever. And she says, my soul magnifies God, and I rejoice in my God, and I believe, and I have faith, and Lord, do to me whatever you want to do. That's a simple faith and obedience. And I think that really, that's the blessing, that's my thankful testimony tonight is, the Word of God, you can dive in and you can go headlong and you can study and you can find things and you can compare words and you can compare scriptures and you can find amazing truths and you can go really deep into stuff. But you could also sum a whole lot of a Christian life up to believe God and obey Him. That's what you could sum up most of the Christian life. And you can get a lot more detailed, sure, or otherwise you wouldn't really need pastor to preach the Word of God to you if it's just, hey, believe God. There's a lot more detail you can get into, but I'm glad that the Christian life can be simplified because I'm a simple guy. I'm glad it can be simplified to believe the Word of God Because this is God's message to us just as much as that angel's message to Mary was God's word. This is his message to us. Read it, believe it, and obey it. That's what Mary did. She believed it and she obeyed it. She knew that she belonged to God and therefore he could do with her whatever he saw fit. That is an attitude that most all Christians should have, but we don't always have. Read it, believe it, obey it. And then what about Joseph? We don't want to leave him out. He's there. We know he's not the biological father of the Lord, but God did trust this man with the Lord. And multiple times, the Lord, you know, spoke to Joseph instead of Mary. After this, we have the Lord speaking to Joseph. They're seeking the child's life. Get up, go to Egypt. They that saw the child's life are dead. Get out of Egypt, go back home. And that was all directions to Joseph. And you could study all those out and find every single time he was told something, he did it immediately. But go with me to Matthew chapter 1. We'll look at just this first instance here. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. Matthew 1:18. We have the genealogy of Christ in verses 1 through 17. Verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, while he thought on these things, can you imagine being Joseph and here your fiance just told you, hey, hon, surprise, I'm with child, and no, it's not yours. You know, we haven't been together yet. It's God's. It's the Messiah that's been written about for thousands of years. Yeah, that's us. That's you and me. We're gonna raise the Messiah. That's, like I said, most people would put that woman in the loony bin. But the Bible says that while he thought on these things, I would say there's a lot of thinking going on in Joseph's mind there. And boy, sometimes we just need help from the Lord because our thinking ain't going to make it there. That's a lot of the time. And he was in the same boat, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So once again, you could study the life of Joseph, and honestly, there's not much there. There's not a whole lot of information about him in the Bible. We know he's a carpenter. We know that he's not around in the end of Jesus' ministry. Most would presume that he had died, but we don't know. We don't know a lot about him. But we know this, that when he was told something by God, he did it. Didn't matter that everybody in town wasn't going to believe it. I mean, come on, who in town would believe that? Oh, don't worry, guys. My wife, she didn't cheat on me. That's God's baby. It sounds absurd, but it's exactly what the Bible said would happen. And he just happened to be the one. One of the things my dad told me years ago, and it doesn't sound necessarily as spiritual as it is, but it was really good advice. He said, be careful what you pray for. And I don't know if you remember telling me that, but he told me that, and essentially the idea was, you ask God to use you, he's going to use you. And you just never know where that's going to go, never know what that's going to do. And you know, he's kidding around, he says it, but that idea, you consider Joseph and Mary, you know, they're fiancés, they're in love, or whatever it may be, arranged, who knows. They're getting ready, the day is coming up. Oh, let's read Isaiah together. Oh man, look at this prophecy. A virgin shall conceive. Man, wouldn't that be something if that happened in our lifetime? And then the next day, Joseph gets a call. I'm just kidding. Gets a holler from Mary. Hey, you know that passage we were reading last night? Well,
That's us.
I mean, just to put ourselves in their shoes, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible story. It's all true. Why God? Why did God choose them? I think we see at least a main reason for it in their response to all of what's going on. Considering how overwhelming all this must have been, they just said, "Lord, yes, yes, sir. We'll do whatever you want us to do." They believed the word of God and they obeyed the word of God. Every time we see Joseph in the Bible, he's believing what's told of him and obeying it. We see Mary here. She's believing what's told and obeying it. And I know that's a very simple message to take out of this passage, but I think it's very helpful because so often we get so sidetracked, worrying about things and concerning about things and working out everything in our minds, and all we got to do is go to this book and say, what does God say? And then when we find what he says, just say, okay, there it is. That's the choice. That's the place I'm going to stand. That's the truth. This answers what I should do. This answers what I shouldn't do. It's the answer to all that we have, all that we could ever need. And it's a simple thing. You say, how do I live the Christian life? We could do 15 discipleship courses on how to live the Christian life, but it starts with believe what God says and obey it. Simple as that. You can't go wrong with those two things. God trusted Mary and Joseph with his son manifest in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Those two were chosen to be the ones that would be his family on earth. And I think they were chosen for a reason. I don't think God does anything by accident. I don't think he just pulled some names out of a hat and said, well, I guess you're going to be the ones. I think he did it for a reason. I think we see that reason in their simple, at least the simplicity of that reason, in their simple trust of God and obedience to him. That's the challenge for us tonight. Trust and obey. There's the song we sing, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, no better way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Now, we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. We'll sing. You got something ready? Looks like we'll sing a couple verses of something, and we'll give you.